Being effective for God. Being effective for God. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 28, if you would just follow along. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, please bless the service. Be with the preaching. Help me as I preach. Lord, please challenge our hearts this evening that we might be men and women that are effective for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Talking about being effective for God. This morning we talked about not drawing back, not pulling back into different things that would cause us to maybe pull back from God and not press forward for Him. And tonight, speaking on the idea of being effective for Him, it kind of ties into this morning's service or the message this morning. I really didn't even plan on it. But the Lord worked that in that situation, and the more I was studying, it's like, well, wow, this kind of dovetails pretty well with this morning. It's one of those deals. I think you remember, maybe you've had a teacher or heard somebody, seminar or preaching or whatever it may be. They'll say, well, here's the problem. And they'll list different things like, well, we need to be careful for this, and you need to watch out for that, and don't fall in, look out at all these different things, and they'll point out the problems or what have you. But then it's like, well, okay, well then, how do I do it? How can I keep from doing that? And I thought, well, this kind of helps us with that answer right there. See, being effective for God. We see five different things this evening. And as far as being effective for Him, I think we all would say, we'd all raise our hands and say, I want to be effective for the Lord. I don't want to just be, treading water, if you might say, and trying to push forward for God, but can't seem to get anywhere. Well, here's some things that if we apply to our lives, it'll help us in being effective for Him. We see first, we need prevailing prayer. Prevailing prayer. James 5:16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer is it availeth much. The idea of prevailing prayer. We need to go to the Lord in prayer. For we need to take everything to Him. So many times we'll think, well, you know what? I have this problem. Well, you know what? I need to pray about that. But then we'll have another problem. Maybe you think it's so small that we can take care of ourselves, or so small that we don't want to bother God with that. I read the quote and I didn't write it down. But basically the idea was this. I'll give you, I guess if I change enough words, I can claim it. But that's, but then I'll probably change the meaning. The gist of it was, people think they don't want to take small things to the Lord because they don't want to trouble Him. And I think it was Moody. And he said, the only thing that troubles God is when we don't take it to Him. And like I said, I know I didn't quote it word for word, and I'm pretty sure Moody said it, but I'm not positive. But it was one of those things. It's like, you know what? That's true. We need to take everything to Him. And the idea that we need that prevailing prayer. We need to take all of our problems. Anything in thinking about that point, you know, there are so many songs that we'll sing. Maybe it's a special that'll be sung, or congregational songs that talk about prayer and taking time to pray and the importance of it. And we'll sing them and we'll enjoy those songs. But yet we'll go through the week and how many times do we not bother praying, and we just kind of muddle along with something that we could, he could help us with. He could give us the victory. You know, you'd be amazed when you get God involved with your day-to-day life, how that he'll help you. I mean, there are times in working in the trades where we'll pray about something, you know, and ask the Lord to help us. And how many times that he's been there and he's helped us through. And you think, well, that's silly. Well, it's not silly to me. He was there to help me. I've seen him work, and many of you have too. But you know, we need to take time and pray. That prevailing prayer. Ian Bounds was quoted. I did write this one down, and I'm not going to wing all of them. The believer who is the most highly skilled in prayer will do the most for God. You know, we're going to serve God. We say we're going to serve God, and then try to do it in our own strength. That's not going to work. We need to be highly skilled in prayer. We need to take it to the Lord, whatever it may be. Our problems, our smallest problems, to our biggest heartbreaks, whatever it is, we need to take it to Him. And you know what else? We need to praise Him for it too. You know that. There's time, you know, maybe you do take it to the Lord in prayer and you get Him involved, but do you thank Him afterwards? Do you praise Him for what He's done? And we need to be remind ourselves and to praise Him for what He's done also. Prevailing prayer. Then we see a powerful word. For the word of God is quick and powerful. Hebrews chapter 4. The importance of reading God's word. Sam says in Sunday school, you know, it is. People say it's one of those basics, one of the fundamentals of our Christian faith. One of the basic things that we can do. But how important it is that we do that. We need prayer, and we need to read God's word. We need to get in God's word on a daily basis. It's there. It's a chart. It's a map for our Christian lives, and how to have a successful life. Easy for me to say, but the thing is, how to have a successful life. I was trying to mix up the words there, but the thing is, we need to get in God's word. You know, we need the different charts. We just put out the February charts, the stories through the Bible, and they're in the back. Or whether you're using the charts that we got last year, and you're using that again, whatever it may be, whatever works for you to get in God's word and get it as a schedule, like you said, and get it part of your routine. But as you do that, also ask the Lord to work in your heart and Holy Spirit to convict you of what changes need to be done, and how you can use what you read, and how it can apply to your lives. And Sam was right this morning. I said that we need to have a routine in reading God's word, but not make it what we're reading routine, if you will. We need to realize the importance of what it is we're reading. We need that powerful word. We need God's word. It'll help to make us an effective soul winner, getting God's word in our hearts and commit, like you said, committing it to memory and meditating on it. Not only that, we need positive faith. Positive faith. Remember Matthew chapter 9, verse 22. Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Remember the woman, just she knew if she could just touch the hem of his garment. She knew if she could touch the hem of his garment, she'd be healed. That's faith. You know, and when we have faith, all things are possible. And once again, that'll make us effective for God. But in so many times, like I've said over the past months, as far as faith, you know, most people, most Christians, their faith is only as far as they can see humanly possible. But then I've been saying that, and then I came across another quote from George Mueller, and he said, "Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends." It's like that. Basically, that's what I've been saying. But the thing, you know what? And that's true. We think, well, I can humanly see how that would work out. So that must be what God has for me. You know, God, I have this situation, and I'm praying that God will work in that situation. And here's how I can see it. Here's how I can humanly see it happening. Surely that's what God has for. You know, we need to have positive faith. Do we believe He can do it? Do we have faith? As we know, He's never let us down. He's always been there for us. Well, there are times when He hasn't answered the way we thought He should, the way we thought He could. But He's never once let us down. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our faith. We need to have that positive faith. Not only that, though, we see persevering love. Persevering love. For the love of Christ constraineth us. 2 Corinthians 5:14. You know, we need to have that persevering love. It'll break down walls of resentment. It'll break down the hurts and misunderstandings. We talked a little bit about that this morning. We talked when I was talking about how people getting angry and then leaving the church for the smallest of things. You know, they'll put up with it with problems and co-workers and whatever at work. But then when somebody says something they don't like, and you know, or they take something and they misunderstand what was said, and then they get mad and then they leave. You know what? If we had persevering love, that wouldn't happen. You know, just because it would cause us to, if we'd maybe see it from their side, put ourselves in their shoes once in a while. Heard somebody, it wasn't in our church, but, and don't worry, it wasn't that big. It's not that big of a problem. So it's like, ooh, another church. What's the problem going on? No, it's not like that. Somebody said, well, you know, that family, they seem kind of cold. They seem like, you know, they're uptight a little bit every once in a while. And it's like, and someone else said to him, well, maybe they're going through something at home. You know, we say, well, you know, they were cold to me. Well, maybe it had nothing to do with you. Maybe they're going through something at home or with their family that, you know, you had no idea what was going on. But all of a sudden, it's, you know, as is the custom for Americans, is it's all about me. And we're going to get our feelings hurt over something that wasn't even that you had nothing. It was nothing about you. And you know what? Maybe we need to put ourselves in their shoes once in a while. You know, if we have an off day and somebody says, you know what, maybe you were short with somebody and you came back to them and apologized to them. They say, you know what, I just figured you're having a, you know, having a rough day or something like that. You know what? We all appreciate it when somebody gives you that benefit of the doubt. I know I do. But yet we never seem to want to give, that seems to be a one-way street. And especially with our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, that goes on, and how our Heavenly Father ought to be proud of us. We need to have that persevering love. Love for each other. You know, we need to cut each other a little bit of slack, as they say, or as they used to say. That persevering love. And you know, not only that, we need to have a persistent effort. A persistent effort. We need to have a persistent effort to share the gospel with folks. Reach the lost. You know, we realize the importance of telling others about Him and being a witness and telling folks while there's time. And you know, all that, you know, time's running out. But what are we doing about it? Do we want to make sharing the gospel and passing out tracts and passing out the invitations, which have the Romans Road on them? Do you want to make that important or something else? We need to have a persistent effort and press forward for Him and have go at the soul winning with. Somebody said before. A general contractor said to me, he said, well, we got to pull off this job. He goes, but we'll come back tomorrow and we'll hit it with exuberance. I'm saying, okay. I mean, it was all true, but it was just kind of odd how he said it. It's like, okay, exuberance, that sounds good. You know, but you know what? We need to go at soul winning with exuberance. We need to give it the effort that it deserves. You know, and realize that they're when we're talking to the lost, that if they're going to spend eternity somewhere, and if they're lost, they're going to spend eternity in hell. And we'll all say that, you know, I'm so glad that somebody took time and told me. Well, you know what? Maybe we need to start taking a little bit more time and telling others, and the importance of it. And I know the group we're talking to tonight are the ones that make that important. You're the ones that when we go out on Saturday, you're there. But we just need to be the challenge and remind, we need to keep pressing forward for Him. Make it important. Have that persistent effort. And we need to keep pressing forward. We all say, you know, the Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming, and He is. And it might be soon. I don't know when it's going to be. But you know what? The fact that He's coming back ought to be enough to motivate us to keep pressing forward for Him. Keep going forward for Him. Not be willing to draw back and just shelter in place, if you will. But we need to keep going and go forward for Him. I think I speak for all of us. I know that's what we want to be doing, be found doing when He comes back for us. Pressing forward for Him, doing all that we can to reach our community. And we're not going to be doing that if we're just hunkered down and you know, just riding out the storm. The storm of, oh, well, what's going on with politics, or what's going on with the COVID, and you know, or what's going on with whatever. We need to keep pressing forward for Him.